safety, we got to discussing and settled the fact that God wants to be your safety. He wants to be your provider of safety. That's a better way to say it. He wants to be your source for safety. Listen, we don't need to look very hard. All over the world right now, whatever people are putting trust in naturally, the economy, their retirement benefits, whatever it may be, their safety nets, they are all failing. And listen, people's mental health is going down the toilet even faster than ever before because they don't have anything secular to rely on. When I say secular, I mean not just in pop culture society. I also mean just natural, man-made. It's all failing. Well, hey, listen, that's by design. Anything not of God is gonna, that he is not allowed to be in charge in, not given access to, anything that's man, the Bible makes it plain. In Psalms, it says it is better. It is beneficial. It is proper. It is prosperity to put trust in God and not in man or in princes or man-made things. So, not to be surprised, but at the same time, that's the way it goes. But God said, and we use this as our foundation, these two verses, Psalm 91:16, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So not just long life, but continually rescued and saved and preserved and protected and helped. That word salvation is a vastly all-encompassing defined Hebrew word. And then in the book of Psalms 18, it says in verse 1, I'll love you, O Lord, my strength. So notice love is a decision. He said, I decide I love you, O Lord, my strength. Now the word strength here, we're going to see it in a little bit again. The word strength here is, again, another word with broad definitions. So you got to see which one fits when you look at the definitions. It means, you know, an actual physical force of strength. Okay, that's good. That works here good. That works here properly. But it also means security, like a physical surrounding of protection. But what did he put them both together? The Lord is the strength of my life. He is the one who provides life force to me, but he also is my security. You ever heard the term insecure? I dare say we have. Have you? It's just us here. It's just us misfits right here. Have you ever been insecure? Let's examine that even further. Have you ever been in a place where your sense of assurance and confidence and safety was undermined? Oh, yeah, we all have. Listen, these things in our blood covenant with God, our best friend, who's made us his best friend, they will help drastically improve our sense of security. And they will greatly affect any feelings of insecurity. You know, like David said in the Psalms, what shall I be afraid? Because I know that you're the strength of my life and that you're with me. You can be very, very confident, even just in a social situation, when you know that God's with you and you don't have to fear being rejected. That doesn't give you carte blanche to be a jerk. I had to learn that the hard way. I kind of went to the other direction when I was very, you know, much younger, in my mid to early 20s. Hey, I'm free. I can just say and act like whatever I want. No. This isn't an excuse to be outside of covenant conduct. But at the same time, I don't have to be afraid. I can be honest. I can be transparent. But the love of God and humility keep me grounded. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, I'm only here and I'm only free and I'm only confident because of who I'm with. And he lets me know what he likes and what he doesn't. He helps me know what to say and what not to say. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm never independent of God. I'm independent of all things man and man made, but I'm entirely dependent on God. And the God I depend on, who is my best friend, has told me to submit to the ordinances of man. So I keep the speed limit. Yeah, amen. I don't put the king or an elected official. The Bible uses the word king or those in authority. I don't put elected officials on blast and complain publicly about them. It's free speech, sure, but I have a friend on the inside. And when I think about doing that, man, I get a check. Like, nope, that's not the way to do it. Now you do you. I'm just telling you how he and I roll. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. I'm not trying to get you down in some political conversation. I'm just showing you that I'm free from the dangers and the threats of man and from everything, any threat naturally. But it doesn't give me carte blanche to give into the flesh in other areas. The New Testament, Paul says, don't use your liberty as an occasion for the flesh. What does that mean? That's really King Jamesy. Don't use your freedom in God to just obey every natural woman appetite. I'm free. Let's go, you know, have some raucous behavior. No, I'm free because someone else made me free. So I'm going to check with that person who made me free, who is my best friend and who is my boss, my master, and he's my source, and say, hey, I was thinking about this. Is that a no? Oh, got it. Yeah. You don't like that because if he don't like it, I don't like it. You get me? Awesome. And that'll help be a great governor because then you're not doing anything you got to repent for or apologize for. You can just be free and enjoy it. But you don't have to be a jerk. You get what I'm saying. Amen. Well, he says this in verse 3 of Psalm 18. He says, I will call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised. He's worth God, our best friend. Now remember, we use the word and we see the word Lord. We translate it with Psalm 23, verse 1 from the Passion Translation. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. So I will call upon the Lord, my best friend, who is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be celebrated and talked well about. And so, and not just by everybody else, but by you and me. He's our best friend. So he deserves to have time taken from our mouth of gratitude and celebration. Sir, I just thank you. You're awesome. And I love you, and you get all my heart, and you get all my life, and I'm best friends with you forever. Oh, yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, says that our righteousness endures forever. This relationship that God has bestowed upon you and I of being made his very best friends, whew, it's eternal. It's unbreakable. And aren't you glad? Oh, I'm so glad. It says, who's worthy to be praised? So shall I be saved from my enemies. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you what, God is good to us. He's very, very, very good to us. And what do you mean good? He's generous. He's kind. He's attentive. He has done so much for us already that covers everything we could ever need or want or face in our lives and swore it to and let us know about it and then swore it to us in his blood covenant with us. His blood sworn oath, promises made and an oath given. Which one's which? The promise tells me what he will do and the oath shows us how much he wants to do it. Now get that again. The promises tell us what he will do. His oath, according to Hebrews chapter 6, tells us how much he wants to. He's sworn to us in the blood of Jesus, his son. I will do it. Why? The oath says, because I want to. You get it? And the Bible tells us in that chapter of that sixth chapter of Hebrews, that oath settles every argument in our minds. Oh, wait, you've promised it because, you know, listen, let's just be honest. You and I have heard promises before. And I dare say if you're over any certain age, you've had a promise not be kept and you've been let down. But God's telling you with an oath, I'm not going to be one of them. Because he said, I will swear by myself because there's no greater to swear by. That's also in Hebrews 6. What's that mean? I swear that I'll do it, which means if I break it, I die. I cease to exist. Well, hey, that's getting pretty good. And then when you realize, hey, I'm not swearing myself into some sort of obligation where I'm like, I got to keep this promise to this knucklehead. No, no, no. He said, I just did that so you could see plainly how much I want to keep this promise to you. He was already motivated. And then he says over in the book of Malachi chapter 3, I am the Lord and I change not. Ooh, hear it, hear it, hear it. The Passion Translation. I am the Lord, your best friend and shepherd, and I change not. Oh, come on. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't that do something for you? Doesn't that, can you feel a deposit of confidence growing on the inside? You're just like, yeah, that puts me at a whole lot of ease. That ease you're sensing is trust. It's confidence growing. Yeah, baby. That's good stuff. Well, we left off last week saying this, that safety is a benefit of being in blood covenant with God. It's just a perk. It's just part of the whole deal. You be best friends with God in blood covenant with him. Safety is just part of the package, man. You're just rolling with him. One of my closest friends. He hooks me up because he's my friend. He loves me. And he'll do nice stuff for me. I'm like, man, thank you. And he's like, hey, you're rolling with Audie Murphy, dog. That's a phrase he said. That's one of his own sayings. He got that from the movie Platoon. You know, because you're rolling with Audie Murphy, dog. Like, what does he mean by this? Is he really Audie Murphy? No, it's an expression. He's saying, listen, man, you're rolling with me. That's just part of being friends with me. And I'm grateful for it. Being kept safe. Listen, not just safe from ISIS. That's a whole part of it. Not just safe from civil unrest. That's part of it. Not just safe. How about this? From financial woes and lack and hard times. That's part of it. If it can cause a threat or danger to you in any way, God has sworn to keep you safe from it. Amen. You mean financially too? Absolutely financially. Let me read this to you. It's in the Old Testament. It's in Psalms 37:19. It says, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time. Well, who's the they? Do I qualify for it? Verse 18, the verse right before it. The Lord, our best friend and shepherd, knows the days of the upright. Who's the upright? It's another word for righteous or the just. Listen, you and I have been made the righteousness of God. You and I have been justified. God has pronounced Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and transferred his very own righteousness when he announced to the universe that you and I are justified because we accepted Jesus' personal handshake of friendship. How did we do that? We decided, we believed what he said. And we accepted and said, you're my boss and my Lord forever. I accept your friendship. I'm all in all the time. Isn't that exciting? Tell you what, how about this? Isn't it also so satisfying to hear that? Well, he says this. They, talking about the upright, how about we say it like this? God's best friends shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. They shall be content. I'm telling you, man, this is exciting. So what do you do when you hear that? Do I just go, wow, that's great? No, you make it yours. You act like it's true. Here, we can do it together right now. Say, thank you, sir. Talking to God. We're addressing him. So say, thank you, sir. You've made me your best friend. I made you my best friend. I believe that. Thank you. In days of famine, I'm satisfied. In evil time, I'm not ashamed, or another word for ashamed means I'm not disappointed. I'm not let down. Thank you. You do that for me. And I believe you. The decision to believe is the exact same as if you shook hands with God and he were physically present. In fact, it's even better because he doesn't have to be physically present. You're just acting like what he says is true. You're making an all-in, all-the-time commitment based on something he said to you. Well, thank you, sir. In days of famine, I'm satisfied. I'm not ashamed in evil times. I'm not disappointed or let down in any way. Inflation can go high as it wants to go. We'll have plenty of money to eat and plenty of money to live and do whatever you've told us to do. Want to know how to not be completely riled up about the economy and inflation? Don't pay attention to it. It has no bearing on your blood covenant. I mean, sure, it's an aggravation, but limit that. Don't pay attention to it. There's things by being in blood covenant with God that can go on, and we never even knew they existed because we're content and satisfied. We can pass up marvelous opportunities to be distressed and worried. Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'll pass. Thanks. What's the, I use this phrase a lot, especially in this day and age. Yeah, miss me with that, dog. Like, listen, no, I'm out. I'm out. No, thank you. I'll pass. Thanks. Amen. All right. So yeah. So safety is a benefit of being in blood covenant with God. God being our best friend, Jesus, his son, and our elder brother and best friend, and our boss, our master. Listen, you're going to have a master in life. But God gives us the ability and the privilege to choose who it's going to be. Listen, there's no better one out there than Jesus. There's no one. He's it. He's the best, and he is absolutely, fiercely dedicated and committed to you and I. He is absolutely, he sets the bar for zeal when it comes to loving his best friends and brothers and sisters. He's our brother, not just by birth, but by choice. He's made us his in blood covenant. And he's fiercely loyal. There is no person more loyal than he is. I let that sink in. You don't have to get him to be loyal or pay attention to you. He's already set himself as loyal and completely paying attention to you and me. And it does us good to remind ourselves that, especially out loud, to have something different than what's being broadcast in our minds. Listen, this atmosphere, this earth, is just evil. And it can cause all sorts of kooky thoughts to come floating through our minds. Doesn't make them that there. That doesn't mean it's ours. We're just going to think kooky stuff from day to day. So it's good to remind ourselves. And it's a good time to read this scripture too. Psalm 56, verse 3. It says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Now notice, he didn't say he's never afraid. He said that I have sensed fear, and when I do, I've got a decision in place ahead of time that I'm going to put my trust in God, our best friend. He said, "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee." In verse 4, he says, "In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust, and I will not fear." Listen, he's saying, I've got a strategic standard operating procedure in place that whenever I sense the feelings of fear, I decide on the spot, I trust in God. My best friend gets my trust. My best friend gets my all in all the time commitment. My best friend gets my thoughts and gets my heart. I put my confidence in him. Now notice also in that fourth verse, he said, I will not fear. So we've actually got two decisions here. I will trust in God, and I will not fear. I've shared this with people before, or things similar to this, and have kind of gotten some pushback at first. And they're like, yeah, I know that says that, but this is serious. Listen, then it's seriously time to take this seriously and to seriously do it. Because now is when it matters. I said, now is when it matters. It doesn't matter more than when it's serious to decide, I will trust in God and I will not fear. Are you with me? And he says, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. That's anything natural, including people. Verse 11 of that Psalm 56 says this, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. He's made the decision. God's got my trust. What's another way to say that? God's got my confidence. I've decided I put my confidence in him. I was being told the story by one of my elders in the faith, how, man, he was just having bad flu symptoms. And his wife had gone into a store, and he knew that the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2 that by the stripes, you know, the whipped bruises on the back that the prophet Isaiah foretold, that by Jesus' stripes we were healed, that those bruises on his back paid for physical healing for our bodies. But man, he has got symptoms out the wazoo. You know what I mean by that? Like there's about 100 pounds of symptoms on him. But he opened the Bible and he looked at it, and he was just, that those symptoms are talking to his mind and talking to his body. Listen, physical symptoms can do that. Fear symptoms can do that. Financial symptoms can do that. But what did he do? He said, I slapped the Bible shut and I just said, I decide I believe this. And he said he could sense like somebody had just flipped a switch on the inside of him. There was a decision that needed to be made, and he made it. Well, was he instantly better? No. But he got better quick. What's that mean? He gave God access by making the right decision. He gave God room to work in his life. Now get this. By responding with a quality decision to believe what God had said. I decide I believe this. Do you see that? And listen, it is just that simple. It is just that simple. Amen. Isaiah 12, verse 2 says this, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, my best friend and shepherd, Jehovah, is my strength. Now, we talked about strength before. Use it again in the context of the definition of that word. The Lord, my best friend and shepherd, is my security force. You're never more secure than when Jehovah is your security force. So let's deal with this head on. Let's address the elephant in the room. Why are there so many people, including sometimes fellow believers, who are not safe and have bad stuff happen to them? I'm going to tell you right now, you and I don't know the whole story. You and I don't know all that went down. But I can tell you this, a lot of people they don't believe this. They've heard it. Somebody can even quote it to you. Sometimes they even have a sticker or a little crocheted thing hanging from the window of the mirror in their car, the rearview mirror, or over their toilet or somewhere in their hallway. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. They can quote it. but they've never made the conscious decision to believe it. It's only by the choice and the decision made is God-given access. How about this? Can you know all sorts of movies that come out? Well, yeah. Does it mean you've seen them? No. You're aware of them. But you've never made the quality decision to go and sit down in a movie theater or made the conscious decision to pay for it on streaming or, whatever it is, to view it. You're aware of it. You could tell the characters and the actors who are in it, how long the movie is. You probably even know something about the story. But it doesn't mean you've decided to watch it. It doesn't mean, now get it, you've given access to that film. So you're not benefited by it. But you can quote it. You may have even seen clips of it. Doesn't mean you've opened your life to it. Does that make sense? Let's stop being so concerned about other people. That's them. This is you and I. Somebody else's experience doesn't cancel out God's covenant in blood. I'm sticking with him. I don't know all the answers to everybody else. He does, and maybe even they don't know all the answers to their own life either, as far as like why things happen. But he does, and he's told me. Psalm 89:34, and he's told you. My covenant I will not break. Nor will I change, or the word is alter, the thing that has gone out of my lips. He's promised to keep you and I safe. He's promised to bless us, and that in evil times, we won't be disappointed, and in famine, you and I will be satisfied. Hey, say no more, fam. I'm sticking with him. How about you? Let's decide it together. I'm sticking with him. Just say it out loud. I'm sticking with you, sir. I'm sticking with you. I'm sticking with you. Say this, because you're sticking with me. Yeah. So he says, I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord, my best friend and shepherd, Jehovah, is my strength, my security force, and my song. Now that's a King James Psalm kind of word. What does that mean? He's the reason I celebrate. And he's what I sing about when I celebrate. Oh, God, I'm just so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for you. You got me out of mess after mess after mess after mess, and you brought me out. Thank you. And you're going to keep bringing me out of mess after mess after mess. And how about this? You're going to preserve me from mess after mess. A mess is going to go by me. I'll never even knew it existed. Hallelujah. That same friend I talked about earlier, about you rolling with Audie Murphy, dog. He's the friend he and I will call and talk to each other and say, hey, you know what happened this week? And he's like, what? Nothing negative. Hey, that's great news. Think about all the negativity that the devil, Satan, and darkness would love to throw into your life every week. That didn't happen. Why didn't it happen? Because God's our shield. He's our security force. Man, he saw that. Listen, we're way inside the headquarters building. But God's shield and security force is at work way out there, checking them at the gate going, who are you? Let me see some identification. They're wearing like little disguises like, we're something good. And he's like, no, get out of here. Get out of the car. Let me see your hands. And he puts them up against the car. And he said, yeah, you're danger and you're an attack and you're nothing but trouble, strife, and aggravation. And no, you're not permitted. And he kicks him out. But we never knew it existed. We never even heard about it, saw about it. Because he's handling it. He's our shield. He's our security force. And what better reason to celebrate him than him just keeping us safe every day? Father, thank you. You're the best friend I could ever have. Thank you. Keeping me safe, and keeping my children safe, keeping my wife safe, keeping my family safe, keeping my misfits safe, my fellow misfits. That's a great thing to thank God about. Thank God, sir. I'm so glad to be in the Misfit Toy Society. Thank you for keeping my fellow misfits safe. Amen. Well, let's talk about this for a second. 1 Peter chapter 5, First Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Actually, let's back up to the fifth verse of First Peter chapter 5. It says this, talking about, you know, who in the, you know, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. That doesn't mean make yourself somebody's slave. How about this? Don't be rude. And when your elders are talking, be quiet. Give people respect. He said, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. You know, notice, you know, when he says be clothed, notice it doesn't get put on accidentally. You got to put it on. He said, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Well, hey, I want his grace and I don't want to be resisted by my best friend. How about you? So, okay, I put on humility. I don't want to be resisted. Father, thank you for the grace. I'll take it. He said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Okay, say no more. I humble myself under your mighty hand, sir. He said, that he may exalt you, lift you up, move you forward. But then he says this in verse 7. This is a main way that we can execute on that and walk that out of humbling ourselves. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The Amplified Classic translation says this, casting the whole of your care once and for all. It says, all your anxieties, worries, and concerns over on him. It says, for he cares about you affectionately and cares for you watchfully. Hey, let that sink in. The God who created the heavens and the earth cares about you that much, that he cares about you affectionately and watchfully. He's watching over you and I. That's good news. So to rely on God for our safety, we have to, I don't want to say we have to. That sounds like I'm giving you yet another thing to do. And in some ways I am, but I want you to hear it as something exciting. You know, like we can say, you got to eat some ice cream. Like, well, that's a joyous thing. Why are we saying it like it's a chore? So in the same way, listen, to put our trust in God for our safety is as simple as deciding we believe and act like what he said is true and decide we believe what he said to us. That's not hard. That's an instantaneous decision. Well, in the same time we're making that decision to accept what he said and to trust him for our safety, it's also vital that we do this. We cast all of our care upon him. We can't hold on to worry and anxiety and concern. We're holding on to contraband. We're holding on to something that's not supposed to be attended to by our limited mind and faculties. That belongs to him. We take all of that and we delegate it to him. We sign it over to him. Sir, you get all of this. You get all my, I decide it right here and now. I'm receiving your safety. I decide here and now. I'm accepting your protection and your care. And I'm giving all this to you. I decide that I cast all of my care over. Nothing's left out. All of my worry, all of my anxiety, all of my concern is yours. It is now, I believe, in your hands. Can you see it? No. Can you feel it? No. That's why I'm making a decision. The decision is higher than any feeling or any something sensed. And it can't be taken away from you. You can write it down right there and then on February the 11th. 2022, at 6:31 in the evening, I put my care in his hands, all of it. See, you've got nothing inside the security force that God puts up that can sabotage you. All the care has been put in the care locker. All the care has been signed into to the care room, to the care bunker. You put it all behind the blast doors. You don't have any of it. Like, no. And listen, the thoughts will come back. aren't you worried about this? No, 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 no. I'm not worried. I signed that over to him. That's his care now. I have this testimony. Man, I was having some care, trying to eat my lunch on a family trip. And I had just started living like this. This is back in late October, early November 2012. So almost, it'd be 10 years ago this fall. And I'd have my cares cast for a little while, maybe a couple hours, and they'll come back. And in my mind, like, oh, here it comes again. And I thought that just because I had a thought or a feeling meant that it came back to me somehow. Like it found a way back in. So I'm in just a nasty gas station restroom. You know, one that you slide across the floor. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm standing there. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm talking under my breath, saying, God, but my cares. And I heard the Lord in that nasty gas station in the radio of my heart. And I'm so thankful that he wasn't like, ew, I'll wait for you outside. Like, I'm so grateful that that gas station restroom didn't make him nervous, that he followed me right in talking to me in my heart. And he said, didn't you cast your cares upon me? I said, yes, sir, I did. He said, then why are they still your cares? I saw it. I'm like, oh, they are. They're your cares. I don't have them anymore. Just because I had a feeling and just because I had a thought didn't mean that they were back. It's just pressure. I got it. It gave me victory. I said, I win. They're not mine. They're still yours. They're still his. I put them in his hands. He hadn't let go of them. He hadn't dropped them. They were still his. Do you see what I'm saying? Praise God. Listen, the trust decision that you're making is that you decide to put all of the cares in his hands. And you're deciding you believe that he has it. That's hard. I didn't say it was easy. I'm saying that you can do it, though, when you make the decision. Just listen, just push all the hard aside and just do this. Lord, on the basis of what you've said in this blood covenant, I decide that I believe that all my cares are in your hands right now. And that is where our rest is. We that have believed in Hebrews chapter 4 do enter into rest. I'm not messing with it anymore. I'm not fighting with it anymore. He's got all my care. And listen, when he's got it, he's not passive with it. He's handling it. And aren't you thankful that he's handling it? We're not equipped to handle care. The human being, spirit, soul, and body, is not equipped and designed to handle anxiety, care, and worry. We are equipped, however, in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 12, we've been made able to partake of our inheritance, which means this: we have been equipped that we can cast all of our care. That's what we are equipped to do. First scent of worry and anxiety. Hey, sir, I cast all my care over on you. You've got this worry. I'm not taking it. Amen. That's what we're equipped to do. We put all of the care and worry and anxiety in our life, all through our life, for all of our days. We delegate it to our best friend, who is the one who is equipped to handle it. It's not, listen, we're not being irresponsible. Because there's wrong thinking folk, especially in religious circles, who will think that if you don't worry, you don't care. No. I have great compassion and I love you. I have affection for you. But as far as fear, worry, and concern and anxiety, the most responsible thing you could do is to put it in God's hands, your best friend. So be it. Amen. Now let's look at some scriptures. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare. But whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Another word for the word safe here means to be secure. set on high, lifted up above the problem. And isn't that good news? The fear of man, fear of what others think about you, fear of what others can do to you, fear of what could happen because of others. It's a snare. It's a trap. But it says that whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I'll put my trust in him. Thank you, Lord. That's an answer for me, too. There's some things I'm facing in my life, and I had just rather avoid it all. But to grow and to go where this ministry is taking us and to do what God's told us to do, I can't avoid it. But I can be saved from it because I put my trust in him. Amen. Now, just like I said before in the previous episode, part one of this, just make a note of these in your notes. I'm not going to make you turn here. I've got them listed right here. So just make a note of them in your notes or pause them while you're listening again or even listening right now. And look them up in your Takata Bible app or look them up in your hard copy Bible. Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Safety is of the Lord, our best friend and shepherd. Now, in the previous verse we read in Proverbs 29, we're going to skip around a little bit. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord, his best friend and shepherd. We're putting our trust in our best friend. That's easy to do. When you think about it like that, in that kind of mindset, oh yeah, I can put my trust in him. He's my best friend. In fact, I decided to do it right now. Best friend, I trust you. You get it. You get all my trust. Notice, he didn't say that, when he says horse, he means weaponry. He's talking about cavalry weapons. That's the best that they had in the day. You can have great weapons. God doesn't mind. But you put your trust in him. Well, I'm armed. That's good. Doesn't mean a thing, though. Doesn't mean you're safe. No, no, no. It's okay to have arms. If you don't like them or don't want them, that's between you and God. No judgment. But if you do, great. If you don't, great. But if you do, that's not where you put your trust. God gets all your trust. The Lord, your best friend, gets all your trust. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Listen, did you hear that? Oh, man, that tell you what, that puts you at ease. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. People sometimes see negative things happening. Well, where was God? Which is such a silly question, as though it's his fault in some way. But with this scripture, you could say he was right there trying to help. Amen. He will help as much as he's allowed to. Amen. Verse 2, therefore will not we fear. Well, I want his help, and I want his very present help in trouble. So what do I got to do to cooperate? Then I refuse to fear. Have you noticed here in the scriptures that he's implying and making it very clear? In order to have God's best safety and help, we must make the decision that we do not fear. Because it looks like fear cancels out or shuts down. That's a better way to say it. Fear shuts down God's ability to help us. Amen. How many times did Jesus show up and throughout the Gospels saying, fear not? Do not be afraid. It is I. It's me. Don't be afraid. Was it just a nice greeting? No, he's shutting the door on something that is trying to sabotage. Amen. Psalm 62 and verse 5. It says this, my soul. So wait, he's talking to his own soul. He's talking to his own inner self. He said, my soul, wait thou, or Wait expectantly, look for only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only, so he's making a decision here. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, or victories. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. This isn't just by accident. He believed what God said to him in his covenant, and he made this decision. God's my safe place. God is my shelter from storms and trouble. He said, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah, meaning stop and think about it. And what better to stop and think about that God is a refuge for us? Psalm 71, verse 1, in thee, O Lord, my shepherd and best friend, do I put my trust. Is that accidental? Is he just blessed with the spiritual, supernatural ability to trust in God? Or was it his decision to make? It's his decision to make. Right. He said, let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation where I may continually resort. Listen, you can be in God as your refuge and as your rock, your security force, your hiding place, and just have an inner sense of being on vacation every day of your life. The world can absolutely, and listen, it is for the most part going crazy. But for you and I, life can be good every day. Because why? We're resorting in him. You know what the word resort means? Where you get the word, we're going to a resort for a vacation. It's a vacation spot. He said, I continually take my vacation in you. Isn't that wonderful? He said, you have given commandment to save me. For you're my rock and my fortress. What does that mean? God has said and spoken on the record. Thank God that you'll save me, that you're my rock and my fortress. That is good news, my friend. God has gone on the record to save you and I. What record is it? The blood covenant record. Psalm 94:22. The Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. The Lord, my best friend and shepherd, is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. Do you sense that going on down on the inside of you? What is that? That's confidence in him. Hallelujah. Psalm 91, verse 1. And we're going to wrap it up here today with this. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place. You know what the secret place is? That's the top secret hidden base of the Most High. And let me tell you what that is in the New Covenant. That is our bond and spiritual connection that we're given eternally to Jesus himself. The New Testament talks about being in him or in Christ. Or Jesus even said to himself in John 15, abide in me. He's talking about stay and remain and settle down and make your vacation spot in our blood covenant, spiritual, heart to heart, actual, literal, joining our connection. And he also means, and the spot I give you with God, my best friend, you're going to have my spot with him. You're going to be in the best friend's spot with me, with my father, who will be your father. That's the secret place. That's the secret place. The secret place is that we are now in Christ Jesus. We are now in blood covenant with Jesus Christ. It says, he that dwells or stays in, remains, makes it his living place. And if you made an all-in, all-the-time commitment, you are in the secret place. It says, shall abide or live under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, one of the words for the Almighty here, talking about Shaddai or El Shaddai is a Hebrew word. It also means the God who destroys my enemies, the destroyer of enemies. It also means the all-sufficient one, the self-sufficient one. He doesn't need help from anybody. And that's who protects us, and that's who supplies us. And notice this. How does he allow all this, the writer of this psalm, to benefit him? How does he allow it into his life? Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. There's a reason why we talked about that the just shall live by faith. And that there's a reason why in the 10th chapter of Romans, it talks about how that we are, quote unquote, saved, or we receive God's covenant, friendship, and salvation by what we believed and what we said. We responded with faith in our heart and legal words with our mouth. Well, it's no different right here. When we announce and pronounce and make the decision that God, the Lord, our best friend and shepherd, is our refuge and our fortress, and that he's our God and our source, and in him will we trust. We are now partaking, better way to say it, we are now taking part and enjoying and giving access to all of God's safety operations. We are allowing him to perform his will in our life. And I know you got it right there and then. So let's get excited and let's see all that he's going to do with it, because he's about to spell out what all that looks like. Verse 3, surely, means without a doubt, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and the noisome, deadly pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings will you trust. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. That means big and small, he's got protection and shielding. He's got armor to cover all your big problems and your small problems. Well, it's just a small problem. Great. He's got a buckler, which is a small shield. God, this is a big problem. Great. He's got a big shield. Verse 5. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, or the destruction that wasteth at noonday. He said, dude, you'll not be afraid of it. Why? Because we're under the shadow of the Almighty. 1,000 will fall at your side. Now listen, he's not saying it's going to be a bed of roses out there in the world. He's just saying it's not going to touch you. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 shall fall at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes will you see or behold and see the reward of the wicked. Behold, you've made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There shall be, and he said, because you've done this, when did we do that? Back in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He's saying you're making him your refuge when you believed and said that and put your trust in him. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. Listen to that. No evil shall befall you. No plague comes nigh your dwelling. None. What do you do with that? Thank you, sir. I decide I believe it. I decide I believe it. No evil shall befall me. No plague comes nigh my dwelling. What do plagues look like? They look like lack and famine, sickness and disease. They look like danger and war. Amen. He said that he shall give his angels charge over you. So you've got a specially assigned protection detail to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shall you trample underfoot. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. This is God speaking now. Can you hear the voice of who's speaking? The tone is shifted. Now God is speaking in the 14th verse, in the 15th and 16th verses. He said, because he has set his love upon me. When did we do that again? And we said, he is my refuge and my fortress, and he's my God in whom I trust. God said that you set your love upon him. Well, love being the highest form of commitment that exists, you did. You put your commitment on him. And he takes it very, very personally. He takes it to the very center of his heart. It means the world to him. He said, therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble and I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Listen, when we put our trust in him and decide we believe him, he is allowed to be all that he is to us and to perform his promise. He's excited about it. He absolutely is beyond thrilled to be a God and a best friend to you and I. Aren't you excited about that? Isn't that good, man? Let's just tell him one more time together. Just say, God, you're my best friend. Thank you for making me your best friend. You're good. You are so good. Thank you for being so good to me. Thank you for being a best friend to me. Isn't that great? Well, listen, we want to thank you, and we want to thank all of our partners out there. Listen, we pray over our partners, and we pray over their contributions to us. We don't take it lightly. They're not just quote-unquote donations. They are offerings, and they're tithes, and we're so thankful for it, that the blessing is working on your behalf, and your giving is multiplied back to you. You're helping us accomplish the mission to get this covenant, best friendship message to go all over the world. But to also get to the persons who are craving it one by one. Not just en masse, but one by one. That God helps us get to the right people at the right time, in the highways and the byways. The misfits. God has such an importance on you, the one listening. You're listening to this right now. You are so important to him. He spares no expense to get his words of best friendship to you and to put you at ease about how he feels about you and how you are to him. And how you are with each other. If you'd like to be part of that, to help us get this mission accomplished, you can go online to misfittoysociety.com and you can go to Pay It Forward and do whatever the Lord's leading you to do as far as financially to be a part of it. There's no pull. We're just making the offer. Listen, we love you. You are the reason we're doing this. You listening, you're worth it. God has shown us how valuable you are to him. So we love you, and God loves you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this. We love you, and we'll see you soon.